From New York City, we bring you another Dr. Christian drama called None So Blind, starring Gene Hirschholt as the beloved Doctor of River's End, and presented for your enjoyment by the Cheesebro Manufacturing Company, owners of the trademark Vaseline, and producers of Vaseline Petroleum Jelly, Vaseline Hair Tonic, and other Vaseline specialties. Tonight we greet you at a new hour, and to old friends and you, Gene Hirschholt and our sponsors extend a hearty welcome. We hope you'll like our program. And the story this evening concerns our beautiful blind Peg Foster, whose life has been made over with the aid of her seeing-eye dog, Mara. Peg teaches music at the McCary Institute. Gloria Holden plays the part of Peg, as usual. Rosemary DeCamp is Judy Price, the doctor's secretary. And other featured artists in the play are Eileen Barton in the role of 12-year-old Mary Dugan from Squatterstown and Adelaide Klein as Mrs. Matilda Mudge from Society Row. Now, among our many guests in the theater tonight is a professional woman who has something of interest to say about the products that make this program possible.
Well, I'm a children's nurse, and most of my work is taking care of newborn babies.
I suppose you're completely hardened to hearing them cry.
Most of the babies I take care of don't cry for very long, young man. You see, one of the reasons why babies do cry is because they're bothered with chafing or diaper rash. And I always keep Vaseline jelly on hand to put an end to that. Vaseline jelly is so soothing that first thing those babies know, they haven't anything more to complain about. I always use Vaseline jelly on babies after their bath, too. I've been a children's nurse for 20 years, and I've never seen any product that could begin to take the place of Vaseline jelly.
Well, Vaseline jelly is so effective in the treatment of minor skin irritations like the diaper rash Miss Thomas just mentioned, for burns and scalds, for cuts and scratches and other little injuries, because it does three important things. First, it forms a protective film that helps keep infection out when the skin is broken. Second, it soothes and promotes healing. Third, it softens and lubricates the skin by supplementing the natural oils. Remember, Vaseline jelly is only 10 cents at any drugstore. When you buy, ask your druggist, too, about the special products bearing the famous Vaseline name. Vaseline borated jelly, Vaseline carbolated jelly, Vaseline lip ice, and Vaseline camphor ice. Each is prepared especially for maximum effectiveness in the treatment of particular skin conditions. And be sure the trademark Vaseline is clearly marked on every jar or tube, for that name is your guarantee of purity. There's the curtain music now. An expectant hush falls over the house. And as the curtain rises, we see Mrs. Mudge's living room where the girls' club of Squatterstown is in session. The doorbell rings, and Mrs. Mudge, flustered, addresses her protege.
Listen, girls, there's the doorbell, and that's Dr. Christian. Go down to the door, Lillian.
All right.
I want you all to be on your very best behavior when Dr. Christian comes in.
Well, good afternoon. How are you, Lillian? May I come in?
Oh, do, Doctor.
Hello, everybody.
Hello, Dr.
You certainly are a busy-looking group of girls.
Oh, Dr. Christian, we are so glad to see you. Get up and curtsy, girls. Can't you remember what I've taught you?
Oh, never mind. I just stopped in for a moment. You said it was important.
Yes, it is, Doctor, very important. I want you to see just what the girls are doing every Thursday here in their little sewing circle. Bring your work forward, girls, and show Dr. Christian. Lillian, dear, you come first. There now. Isn't that nice?
Yes, very nice. What is it?
Why, it's a tobacco pouch. A lovely tobacco pouch. Dr. Christian, don't you think any man would be proud to get a gift like that? A nice embroidered pouch to keep his smoking tobacco in?
I'm sure he would.
Lillian does such beautiful work, Dr. Christian.
Lillian is Mrs. Mudge's pet.
Now, no scowling, Mary, when the doctor is here.
Well, she is.
Really, Dr. Christian, I'm so proud of my girls. I've given every Thursday afternoon this year to them. Had their teeth attended to, their tonsils out. Given them instructive books, taught them to sew.
I'd rather have fudge sundaes and a dress like the one you gave Lillian.
Lillian deserves those things because she's such a sweet little girl and behaves so beautifully.
She gets them because she's pretty and got yellow curls.
Oh, now, Mary, some of us lies.
That will do, Mary. Now, girls, you may put away your work and go out to the kitchen and help bring in the refreshments. Go on now, girls, and bring everything in nicely. And, Mary, do be careful and don't break anything. Oh, Dr. Christian, I am so glad to have this chance to talk to you. I'm facing a problem, a really great problem, and I need your advice.
What is the difficulty, Mrs. Mudd?
Well, something has got to be done about Mary Dugan. That child is just impossible. And, well, I decided to drop her completely.
Oh, but you can't do that.
Oh, yes, indeed I can. I put up with all I intend to from that girl, Dr. Christian. You see, the idea... Well, what's that?
Well, it sounds like something...
Oh, dear. Well, what's happened? What have you done? Oh, who did that? Who broke my best china?
I did it.
I should have known. How did you do it?
Why, I was trying to get the tray away from Lillian, and she wouldn't let me carry it. And then all at once she let go, and I dropped it.
And why were you trying to take it away from Lillian?
I wanted to serve the cocoa. I wanted to act like a lady.
You a lady?
Oh, I know I couldn't be one. I couldn't be an old smirky puss like you if I tried. Let me out of here. I'm going home.
Yes, indeed, you certainly are. And don't you ever dare come back.
I should say I won't. I never want to see this place again, or you either. You mean old bead stringer?
The clinic waiting room just packed with mothers and children, Dr. Christian. The ugly duckling of Squatterstown is out there again, too.
Mary Dugan?
Yes, looking like a thundercloud as usual. She isn't very bright, is she, Dr. Christian?
Well, to tell the truth, Judy, I'm afraid Mary's almost too bright.
What?
Well, she has an unusual mind. Maybe a streak of genius.
Oh, you're joking.
No, I'm not.
Well, I can't see how you figure that out. She certainly doesn't look it.
I know, and perhaps she'll never show it. There's a problem there. And I'm not sure how to work it out.
But why is she so unattractive, so untidy, and so disagreeable?
Ever see her sister Lillian?
Yeah, she's lovely, isn't she?
And that's why.
Oh, you mean she's jealous?
Well, probably not consciously, but she has suffered from the contrast ever since Lillian was born.
Well, to tell you the truth, Mary wouldn't be bad looking at all if she wasn't so disagreeable. She has an interesting little face.
Yeah, but what good does that do when your heart is breaking for long eyelashes and ringlets?
Oh, not much, I suppose. Whatever made you say you thought she might be a genius?
I don't know. The only thing in the world she has ever shown any interest in outside of hot fudge Sundays is music. She told me at school that several times they found her playing the piano entirely by ear.
Oh.
But she always runs away when anybody comes near her.
Oh, that's too bad.
Yeah. Well, Judy, it's getting late. Oh. You want to start bringing the patients in?
Yes, I'm good.
The doctor's ready for you now. Who's first? Who's been waiting longest? Mary? Well, why don't you speak up, honey, if you were the first one here? Come on in. Here's Mary Dugan, Dr. Christian.
How do you feel, Mary?
I'm all right.
Eating well, are you?
I guess so.
Go to bed early the way I told you to?
Yes.
Come on over here and let's have a look at that throat. Open wide. Say ah.
Ah.
That's it. Well, it looks pretty good, Mary. See what that is, will you, Judy? Well, young lady, I'd say your throat is sealed up very nicely.
Oh, I'm sorry to break in this way.
Peggy! It's Peggy and Mara.
Oh,
doctor.
Well.
Come on in, won't
oh,
you?
No, no, Judy. I won't stop. I know the doctor's busy.
Oh, I'm never too busy to see you, Peggy.
Oh.
You and Mara. How are you?
Splendid.
How are you, Mara? Nice girl. Well, she looks marvelous, Peggy.
She is marvelous. Well, I will come in just for a second. But I know I shouldn't. The waiting room seemed to be full of people. You have a patient now, haven't you?
Yes, this is Mary Dugan, Peggy. Mary, this is Peggy Foster and her seeing eye dog, Mara.
Hello, Mary.
Hello.
Mara is Miss Foster's guide, Mary.
Guide?
Mm-hmm.
Mara's my eyes, Mary. You know, I can't see the way you do, so Mara has to see for me and tell me which way to go.
You mean you walk around every place just with her?
I walk around a good deal. You see, I teach music and...
Music?
Yes. Do you like music?
Oh, yes, yes, I love it. I mean, it's okay, I guess. How can you teach it without seeing?
You learn to see in other ways than with your eyes. Through your ears, for instance. You know, Mary, I can tell almost exactly how you look just by your voice.
Oh, no.
Yes, I can. Listen, I'll wager you've got big dark eyes and beautiful black hair and long, slender hands.
Well, how did you know?
Well, I didn't know. I just felt it. Has she really, Dr. Christian?
Yes.
Maybe you You think you know how I look, but you can't really see me, can you?
Well, if you mean with my eyes, no, I can't. If you like music, Mary, come and see me someday and I'll play for you. Would you like that?
Oh, yes. I guess I'd better not.
Why not? I think it would be fun. You bring her, Dr. Christian. Well, I've got to run now. Your other patients will be beating the door down. Goodbye. Goodbye, Mary. I'll be expecting you. Mara, forward.
Ah, there goes one of the most wonderful girls in the world, Mary. A girl who turned a very terrible tragedy into a blessing.
Dr. Christian?
Yes, Mary.
Dr. Christian, sometime will you take me to see Peggy Foster?
Of course I will.
And will you make me a promise?
What is it, Mary?
Will you promise me you'll never, never tell her how I really look?
I wonder about your fingering. Now, let me show you.
All right.
It's this way. Now, you try. That's really very nice. You did practice hard this week, didn't you?
Yes, Miss Foster, I did. They let me use the piano at school every afternoon after classes.
Your work shows. All the talent in the world is no use if you're not willing to use it. I'm proud of you.
I'll work harder if you think I should.
What does it matter what I think? You're the one who wants to be a great musician.
I only want to because of you.
Nonsense. You want to because you love music.
You know so much, Miss Foster.
I know lots that would have taken me a long, long time to learn if I hadn't been blind. That I've learned from having to work problems out for myself. With Mara here. Isn't that so, Mara? Oh, you beautiful old thing.
Mara loves you just the way I do. How do you know Mara's beautiful, Miss Foster?
Well, people tell me so.
But if they didn't?
Well, even if they said she wasn't, I wouldn't believe them. I know she's beautiful. Nobody could ever make me think she wasn't. Just as I know you're beautiful.
You really think I am?
Of course. I've told you I know exactly how you look. The expression in your eyes when you're playing, the way you laugh, and the way your hands go over the keys. Oh, listen, there's the doorbell.
Shall I go?
No, you sit here and go over those last exercises again. I'll be right back. Now, do them carefully.
All right.
Well, good afternoon, Peggy. It's Mrs. Lutch.
Oh. Well, won't you come in?
Thank you. I stopped for just a moment to ask if you'd come and play for us tomorrow night. We're having a party for the girls' club. We'd all love some music, and we do enjoy your playing.
I'm sorry, but I'm afraid I couldn't.
Oh, I'm so disappointed. Is it because you have another engagement? Perhaps you could come in later.
No, it isn't that. It's just... Well, I don't believe I could play for the club, Mrs. Mudge.
But, I don't understand what you mean.
I thoroughly appreciate what you're doing for the girls. I know Dr. Christian feels you've given him a great deal of help, but... Well, little Mary Dugan happens to be one of my pupils, Mrs. Mudge. And knowing how she was dropped from the club, I don't believe I could play there.
Mary Dugan, a pupil of yours? Why, I can't believe it. Miss Foster, you don't realize because you can't see her. But Mary Dugan is a little hoodlum, and if you only...
Don't you say that, Mrs. Mudge. Don't you dare say that.
What on earth do you mean?
You stop telling her things about me. Don't you tell her I'm dirty and funny looking.
Mary.
Don't you believe her, Miss Foster. Don't you believe her. I am pretty and interesting looking like you said.
Mary Dugan, what do you mean bursting in here like this?
I was giving Mary a lesson, and I must have left the door ajar. Mary, please stop crying.
No,
it's ridiculous. The girl is imposing on you.
No.
She's giving you an utterly false impression.
No.
Miss Foster, I'm going to take this child away with me right now.
No.
I've been saying for some time that she should be in an institution.
No.
And this certainly proves it.
No. Don't let her, Miss Foster. Don't let her take me.
Mary, dear, stop this. At once. Do you hear me? Stop it.
Then say you won't let her. Say she can't take me.
Mary, you do trust me, don't you?
Oh, yes.
And you know I'm your friend.
Yes.
Well, I trust you, too. Now go into the other room and leave this to me.
Yes, Miss Foster.
Mrs. Mudge,
May I ask you, please, to let Mary Dugan alone. From now on, I'll be responsible for her.
Just listen to the concluding number on a program of piano music given by little Mary Dugan, amazing child prodigy, whose playing after only a few months of study has attracted the interest of the musical world. A scholarship which will enable her to continue her studies has just been awarded to Mary by the McCary Institute of Music of River's End.
Well, Peggy, how do you feel now?
She was marvelous, wasn't she?
Magnificent.
I can hardly believe it myself, just in this short time.
Well, she still has plenty to learn, you know.
Yes, but she has the essential things. The rest will be simple. Well, shall we go into the studio and find her?
You should have been in there with her, getting your share of the credit instead of listening to men here.
Oh, I wouldn't have faced that mob for worlds. Oh, there is a mob, isn't there? Sounds like a flock of birds settled in a tree.
Well, everybody in River Sand is there, including the girls' club and that new actor.
Oh, now, don't tell me Mrs. Mudge is here.
Yes, Mrs. Mudge herself. In a picture hat, standing right up by the piano. I'll bet a dollar she's having a picture taken. Yes, yes, she is. There's a news for talk about the flashlight.
But why should she have...
Oh, she was on the scholarship committee. She probably believes by now that she was the one who discovered Mary and is responsible for her success. Oh, here comes Mary now. And she's simply beaming. Hello there, young lady. Say, that was a very, very fine recital.
Oh, thank you, Dr. Christian. Miss Foster, did you think I was all right? I tried to remember all the things you taught me.
It was splendid, Mary.
And do I look all right, Dr. Christian?
Perfect.
Judy fixed me all up in my new white dress with a white ribbon in my hair, just like you told her to, Miss Foster.
I wish everybody at the Institute could have seen you as well as heard you.
Oh, do you suppose everybody at the Institute was listening?
They certainly were, Mary. You're their prize pupil now, you know.
Ma says it's a wicked waste spending all that scholarship money on learning to play the piano. Of course, she ain't really going to spend it all that way. She's going to buy a lot of things for Lillian out of it, too. A new coat and
what?
Then some...
What did you say, Mary?
I said Ma was going to get some things for Lillian out of the scholarship money. She says the money the Institute's given me is a lot more than I'll really need. And Mrs. Mudge told her it would be all right if she used some of it for other things.
Mary, are you sure?
Yep. I was in the kitchen when Ma and Mrs. Mudge was talking. Oh, my goodness. My goodness, Dr. Christian, here she comes now.
Who, Mary?
Mrs. Mudge. Do I have to speak to her?
No, but I'm going to speak to her.
My dear Miss Foster, what a proud, proud moment this must be for you. Do let me congratulate you, and you too, Dr. Christian. It was simply wonderful. I must admit that even I was surprised at Mary's success.
Yes, Mrs. Mudge. I imagine you were.
Of course, I should have known that if Miss Foster had confidence enough to recommend a scholarship for Mary, she must be good.
And now when Mary really has the scholarship, I hear that you're advising her mother that it's all right for her to use part of the money for other purposes, for Lillian.
Why, where did you hear that?
It's true, isn't it, Mrs. Mudge?
Well, all I said was that if Mary's mother could squeeze out just a few things for Lillian,
Mrs.
why...
Mrs. Mudge... Did it ever occur to you that that would be just plain robbery?
Robbery? Why, I don't know what you mean. After all, Dr. Christian, the scholarship money was given to Mary's mother to spend as she thought best. If she's clever enough to spread it over more than Mary's expenses,
It can't be spread at all. Can't be spread that far. That money belongs to Mary, Mrs. Mudge. The person who diverts it to any other purpose is a thief.
Why, Dr. Christian?
I feel that it's best to speak plainly. Mary's mother must be made to realize that every penny of that fund belongs to Mary. Mrs. Mudge, I'm going to suggest to the scholarship board that you be given full responsibility for its disposition.
I don't see how I can...
Well, you have often mentioned your executive ability, Mrs. Mudge.
But really,
You have so much influence with Mary's family. I'm sure you're just a person to check with Mrs. Dugan monthly and give a detailed report to the scholarship committee on exactly how the money is being spent. Oh, I shall be glad to go over the accounts with you myself, but just to be helpful.
It's very kind of you, but...
After all, Mary is a product of your girls' club, you know.
Why, yes. Here she is, isn't she? Mary, you really played beautifully tonight, and you look very nice in that little frock with your hair tied back. You're going to be a credit to the girls' club. I saw all along that you could be.
Mrs. Mudge, it's no such thing.
I think your husband is waiting for you, Mrs. Mudge. I saw him looking this way.
Oh, yes, yes. I must be going. Goodbye. Do you know Dr. Christian? I don't believe she realizes.
No, probably not. Well, let's not be too hard on her. I suppose if you're born without vision...
Vision? That's seeing, isn't it?
It's a certain kind of seeing, Mary. And a great deal more precious than eyesight.
Can't you?
Well, it's the kind of seeing that made Peggy realize months ago that all in the world you needed was someone to love and understand you.
And it's the kind of seeing that makes Peggy realize now that all you need is a double-decker hot fudge sundae.
Oh, Peggy, that's more than vision. That's second sight.
And the curtain comes down on another Dr. Christian drama. But don't turn your dial yet, because Gene Hirschholt, our star, wants to tell you about next week's play. While we're waiting for him, here's an important message from our sponsors. Naturally, every man wants to look his best. But many are careless about one important detail of their appearance, their hair. They soak their hair with water as they comb it in the morning, and then wonder why it looks so dry and unkempt, why it sheds dandruff scales. If you are bothered by dandruff or by dry, brittle hair that won't stay in place, chances are you have dry scalp. And the best thing for dry scalp is Vaseline Hair Tonic. Vaseline Hair Tonic is different. It contains absolutely no ingredients that could possibly dry the scalp. Instead, Vaseline Hair Tonic supplements the natural oils of the scalp, replaces those oils which are washed away by frequent shower baths or dried out by sun or steam-heated rooms. Instead of wetting your hair each morning when you comb it, try shaking on a few drops of Vaseline Hair Tonic. And before every shampoo, rub Vaseline Hair Tonic generously on the scalp. You'll be amazed when you see how soft and healthy-looking your hair will look. There will be no more unsightly dandruff scales. Your hair will be handsome and easy to comb. Vaseline Hair Tonic costs only 40 and 70 cents at your neighborhood drugstore. Get a bottle tomorrow. Now here's the star of our Dr. Christian radio programs and the star of the Dr. Christian pictures, which you will see on the screen this winter, Gene Hirschholt. What kind of a story have you chosen for next week, Dr. Christian?
Next week's play is called There's No Such Thing as Luck, and it concerns a little experiment I once tried on two families of my acquaintance. And one was rich and lived in Chicago, and the other was a dirt farmer who lived in River's End. Each one thought the other's life more attractive, so I decided to give him a chance to try it. But if you think you've already guessed the answer, well, you're wrong. Remember, there is no such thing as luck. And so until next Wednesday evening at this same hour, I'll say good night.
This is the Columbia Broadcasting System.